Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you looking to hire a tech professional? With ZipRecruiter, you can post to 100-plus job boards, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/twit. And by VideoBlocks, by StoryBlocks. Uncage your creativity. Get all the stock video you need for only $149 a year. Visit VideoBlocks.com/android to save on millions of studio quality clips from VideoBlocks. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode number 340, recorded on Tuesday, October 24th, 2017. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Florence Ayong.
Yeah, you are. And right in between us is not Ron Richards. He is not here today. This evening, he is absent. Do we say what he's absent for? Why?
We didn't discuss that.
Okay, you're right, we didn't.
No.
Okay, maybe
Ron
we'll tell you later.
Ron is enjoying some much-needed time off right now.
It's true, he did
so
say
that. So we ask that you please respect his time of being alone.
Yeah, we probably should have discussed this with him. I do know that we're allowed to say that he's on a beach enjoying himself.
Precisely.
Which is, honestly, I would love to be on a beach.
Really? I've been, like, thinking about when I can get to snow.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so in pre-show you mentioned that you're planning some sort of a trip.
I'm trying to look at where to go this winter.
But, and then you mentioned a place that feels a little too wintry for, like, vacation during the winter. Like, I assumed you would be trying to escape the cold.
But we don't live in the East Coast. We don't have to escape anything. We live in California. We are so spoiled here. We should be going out and enjoying what everybody else has to offer that we don't get.
That's
and
true.
Anyway, Tahoe is so crowded.
Yeah.
It's so crowded now.
It can be.
Tahoe so yesterday.
Whatever. Meanwhile, people travel from all over.
I know.
To Tahoe.
We're
just like, oh, whatever. That's our backyard.
We are.
We've got quite a show.
We do have actually.
You might also notice that there is no TV here. It's just Flo and I. We're like, you know what? Sometimes we just got to go solo.
Yeah.
We got to flow solo.
Yeah. It's 90 degrees outside here in Petaluma.
Which is weird.
Which is partly why I'm like, let's go to the snow.
Yeah,
but I'm still feeling summery, so I feel like this is good. We're in a summery mood.
All right. All right.
You know, we've got a lot of drama to talk about, controversy.
Which is so summer.
Heating up the airwaves of the internet.
So summer. I know. We're going to be discussing display quality control issues. Doesn't that just ooze summer
drama
to you?
It's like Dynasty.
With Pixel 2 XL, which is a story that I feel like has been going mad for the past, I don't know, 5 days or so over the weekend. That's a long weekend, by the way. A month with the Note 8. I've been using the Note 8 now for almost a full month.
Oh, good.
And there's a reason why. We'll talk about that.
Oh, great.
You've also been spending time with the Note 8, so you've got thoughts, right?
Yeah, well, more on the V30.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll talk about that.
We'll compare and contrast. Pay with Google is now a
which
thing.
Which I actually, well, I'll talk about that.
Yes, hold on to it. DNS over TLS. We'll explain what those letters mean. Essential has a big price drop and a whole lot more. Before we dive in, we've got some important stuff to get to.
Due to popular demand, I found a box of the mystery Oreos. We've received a lot of tweets about these.
Yeah.
And I got some snaps about them too, which thank you for those of you who are still on Snapchat.
Wow, Snapchat is it that much of an abandoned platform?
No. I am so happy now that people, like, yeah.
Okay. It's nice
anyway,
to get a snap.
So we've got mystery Oreos here. I've heard a couple of people say they sound, they taste like Fruity Pebbles.
Okay, don't pollute the airwaves.
Oh, shoot, you're right. I'm totally polluting.
With these references, because
oh, no.
We've never tasted them. Although you read it, so, you know, that would already be
I
in
did.
There. But what is the deal behind mystery Oreo? Because I know a lot of people sent this as a limited edition. Apparently, you don't know the flavor, but you can win some money or whatever. Well, I guess that's
you can win $50,000 actually.
Okay,
if you see the back for details, and 5 first prize winners will receive $10,000. The way to enter is to text mystery to a number and then follow the link to submit your guess.
Okay.
Or you can go to OreoMystery.com and submit your guess.
That's too complicated.
You can enter without making a purchase or guessing the correct flavor, which seems...
if the winner ends up being...
This is definitely a contest for millennials.
If you can actually win this by not actually playing whatsoever by the rules, then that's pretty lame.
I mean, come on. Anyways, that's a trophy for, like, participation.
That's true. It totally is.
Boo.
All right. So here, I'll pull it over to this little camera that we have right over here, because you've got to see, are they bright pink? What color?
Well, I think they just look like Oreos.
They just kind of look like Oreos.
We should smell these ones.
Okay, so I'll do that.
Let's smell them.
Immediately, I don't like the smell.
You should put them down by your side, though, because I know the
smells
studio
like
wants to share.
Smells like rum.
Oh, it does.
It totally smells like rum.
It totally does smell like Fruity Pebbles.
Oh.
I just dumped the cereal in the bowl. I'm about to pour milk on top of them. What did you say they smelled like?
Rum. Yeah, I totally get the Fruity Pebbles. I don't know if that's the thing, although I could kind of see it. Is Fruity Pebbles a Nabisco thing? Or Fruit Loops. Excuse me, Fruit Loops. Eric Duckman.
Oh my god,
our scooter
these are so fruity.
I don't like it. Three.
These are really fruity. They do.
They really do taste like Fruity Pebbles.
Sorry, I'm eating them like, yes, they really do.
Okay. We will make sure, Victor, that you get one of these delightful cookies.
I'm going to shove it the rest of the
time. Oh, he already has one. You'd be wise not to eat it. Okay. With that said, it's time for the news.
Here's something you'll want burned into your screen. Here's Jason and Flo with Android News.
Yeah, we'll burn that into your screen. We're going to burn this news into your screen, except that we're not going to start with the big news. I don't know why when I set this up, I didn't start with top stories.
Sorry, I'm like, I desperately need water. Keep talking.
Okay, I'll just jump
Oreos.
Right into it. So we're going to get to the screen stuff with the Pixel, and we've got some Pixels in hand, so we're going to show those to you, but not yet. You got to get through these stories first. And hey, there's some pretty cool stuff here. First things first, Google continues to push sites towards extra security. As you may remember, Chrome, you know, they've been pushing towards this extra security with HTTPS encryption for sites. If sites actually do that, they get a handy little green icon lock icon in the URL bar, and that's all great. But now, according to updates that are hitting the AOSP, and spotted originally by XDA developers, Android will soon support TLS, which stands for Transport Layer Security, for DNS, domain name server. So DNS queries will be encrypted similar to what you get through HTTPS. It would prevent hackers from taking control of DNS, the domain name server, to spy or misdirect to phishing sites, all that kind of stuff. Did you just bring milk? No, you brought water. That's good. I thought this was like delayed milk delivery by Burke. Either way, thank you, Burke. And it would not fully obscure websites visited from ISPs. So there's a lot of people that are thinking, oh, well, this would mask where you go from ISPs. VPN would still be the assured way to do that. And that's mainly because it requires the DNS that you connect to support DNS over TLS. So if that happens, then you've got an extra layer of security. So I think that's a good thing.
So it's effectively the mobile answer to HTTPS.
Well, yeah, but
is what I'm understanding.
It offers encryption like HTTPS applied to the domain name server. Sometimes the domain name server can be a tell as far as, you know, signaling to a telco what sites you're visiting. At the very least, they could have that information and know that's where you're going when they pick apart the DNS and find out where that's redirecting to. This is one way around that. But there needs to be extra support on the DNS side in order for it to actually protect you from anything. But I think that's good. It basically symbolizes that, you know, Google continues to kind of take customer security seriously from this perspective. Maybe they're making up for, you know, other things and doing what they can, I guess, is what it's all about.
Yeah, but so it says here it'll appear in the developer options. So it's making me think it's not for prime time yet. It's
just
kind of in.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, from what I understand from the XDA article is that it will appear in the developer options menu initially. Maybe eventually that'll get moved out. But then I guess there needs to be a little bit of education for the general user, which is like, why do I need that?
I don't think you need to have education. I think you just have the developers help you with the bugs, enable it in the background, and everybody's safe.
And do it by default.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's probably the right way to go.
That's the easy way to do it. Don't ask me to do anything on my end, please.
That is a really good point. So there we go. More secure.
Yeah. So speaking of doing things on my end, a cool thing that I got to do the other day is I got to pay for the parking meter with Android Pay.
With Android Pay?
With Android Pay.
Okay.
Which was because of the new Pay with Google API that was announced this summer. This summer over at Google I.O., I guess if you count May as summer.
I do.
It taps into
apparently because I wrote it.
Yeah, again, the California privilege. You tap into the Google Pay API. You've got your credit and debit cards there that you've set up on the device. I noticed that this is device specific because I only have one debit card set up on my V30, whereas I have like all my cards set up on another phone. But yeah, only the cards you have set up inside the app on that specific phone. It can be added via Play, Android Pay, YouTube, and Chrome, all available to use this. When you make a purchase, you will see a prompt that appears, and all you have to do is simply tap it and hit send to pay. It's super easy, just like tapping the phone physically to an NFC-enabled station. It's super quick. It's way easier than typing in your debit card every time you need to pay for parking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a nice little API. It works at 15 places right now at launch. I imagine there's lots of apps that maybe are also integrating this. Pay by Phone, by the way, is the app that I am referring to, which is a parking meter app in many metropolitan areas.
Okay. And they're using the API. Yeah, they've got a little list on their page.
Oh, they've got Airbnb. They've got Kayak.
This bottom area is coming soon. So,
coming soon. Okay.
Yeah, like available now, E24, DoorDash, iFood, Instacart, Wish. There's Postmates. There's a number of them there.
Wish is a dangerous one. Be careful with that one, folks.
Coming soon, Papa John's. All the pizza that you like, you can pay for it this way.
Papa John's,
Airbnb, yeah. Well, hey, you got to start somewhere. Hotel Tonight. everybody starts somewhere. StubHub.
They do.
So there you go. New way to pay, I suppose.
It's really convenient. I like this. I got into a bind the other night. You know, when I go out, I go out with this small little wallet that just has my Clipper card, which is my transit card, my debit card, and my driver's license, and whatever coupon I need that week. Mm-hmm. I try to travel with nothing else on me because I've had my wallet stolen many times.
Wait a minute. Whatever coupon you need that week. Coupon
yeah.
for what?
I plan out my errands, you know, maybe CVS. I have $5 back. Oh, okay. Maybe I have something at Sephora. I mean, I have a coupon. I got to, you know.
You got a regular coupon routine.
I do. I like coupon. I should bring a coupon app into the arena.
I'm sure there's some good ones.
Got to clip the coupons.
Coupon clipping is a thing.
No, it really is. Yes, and it really, you can thing. Really game the system.
Yeah. No, I know. Actually, Hack5's Shannon Morris is a big coupon clipper. And if you follow her on Instagram, I don't know if she still does this, but for a couple of years, she was tweeting out like all these things. Like I just envision when you do the couponing thing, you just end up with a garage full of stuff that you may never use.
No, it's not that bad.
No.
No,
okay.
But you do save some money. Anyway, just to end that, it was raining when I used Android Pay. I did not want to exit my car to pay the meter. And I just paid it right there from inside my car.
That's
and then
cool.
I just ran to where I was meeting my friends.
That's pretty awesome. Excellent. Bravo.
Real world testing.
That's right. All right. Last month, Google previewed a bunch of new games and experiences aimed at kids via the assistant and by extension, Google Home. And they're now rolling that out. So this also, in fact, includes something called Voice Match for kids via Family Link. Now, Family Link is the app and kind of embedded service that you can use to set up devices that are that are basically formatted around your kids. So you can place restrictions, limits on those. It's Google's official way of doing that. I use it at home for my children's tablets to kind of control their time limits.
This is like the video they showed us at Google I.O.,
yes,
right?
Yes, so they showed a video at Google I.O. It's now rolling out. I tested it out a little bit earlier. You can say, okay, let's play a game, or what games can we play? And it'll kind of walk you through. You've always been able to do that, but now there's more added to that list. Things like Let's Learn, play space trivia, talk to everyday heroes, help me with my homework.
Heroes, like Marvel and DC heroes, or like
good question.
John F. Kennedy. Because, I mean, Heroes could be different for everybody.
They should all be in there, to be honest. Play Mickey Mouse Adventure. Talk to What's My... So Talk To is a way of getting third-party developers in there. Talk to What's My Justice League Superhero.
That's super cute. Kids are going to love that.
Play Sports Illustrated Kids. Tell Me a Story. Tell me the story of the not-so-scaredy cat or whatever the story is. And I guess there's a bunch of built-in stories. Play Strangest Day Ever. Play Jungle Adventure. There's a whole bunch of these. But I think probably my favorite way to do this, because as I was looking at this, I was like, okay, 50 plus games and activities. Like, how on earth do you even know that they exist? And like, what is the easy way to get at these things? Like, where's the list that I can look at? If you say OKG, abracadabra, it's kind of like a random carousel. And it'll pull up a thing and it'll describe the game. It'll be like, ha-da-da, you know, funny little quote. Now you can play What's My Justice League Superhero, where you da-da-da, do you want to play? And then you just say yes and you jump right into it and you play the game.
It is worth mentioning that Google tries to do a lot with like their newsletter, you know, that's why you get like a lot of emails from them in your, you know, after you register for a product.
Yes,
to kind
you
of
do.
Help like educate the yeah. public about, I mean, I get those newsletters so I can see what's coming out, and like every month, I would say every other week, there's a new theme mm-hmm. of like what to do with Assistant. But the thing is, it all comes down to the fact that with Assistant, it's one of the, I would say it's one of the virtual assistant platforms that is very consistent in the way it answers me.
How do you
It's mean? Very consistent at understanding me, even when I'm kind of like talking weird, and it's been very consistent at like delivering it what I need.
Oh, okay.
I say this because it I've been testing, well, I've been testing Cortana at home with the Harman Kardon
right.
Invoke, and I have the Amazon Alexa, but I don't really... Not really in that ecosystem, so...
I haven't really used Alexa at all. Oh, sorry. We said the name twice.
Ooh.
Apologies, Victor.
Sorry.
Yeah, I haven't really used any of the other ones. Once again, I'm so siloed into my
Google
because,
world. Well, I just think about all the things that they're adding to it, I think.
Well, I know from my own personal experience with kids, like, they use the Home all the time. Primarily, they probably use it because it's easy to play for them to play music. So they can say, hey, G, play
Christina Aguilera.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
What a girl.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Look what you made. Okay, G, play Look What You Made Me Do by Taylor Swift.
Is that what was going on in your house lately?
Oh, believe me. They play that song a million times. Once they learned that that's how they asked for that song, they play it all the time. So they use it for music, but they also use it to play games occasionally, usually in the morning when we're trying to get ready for school. So it's a little bit of an annoyance. But
oh my gosh.
Still. They do, and they know kind of the process of that, and they love it, like Mad Libs,
that's the whole,
trivia.
That's what Google's trying to do, though. They're trying to train them now as young kids so that when they become consumers mm-hmm. with their own dollars, they could be like, I remember when I was a kid, and I was annoying my dad by trying to play a game with Google Home in the morning before going to school.
It's not weird that I'm playing an actual board game with a humanoid robot, because when I was a kid, I used to talk to the Google Home.
I mean... I could see something like that happening too.
Yeah.
Just like for to cure loneliness.
Yeah. The evolution.
Like those,
of it.
You know, we already have robots.
Yeah.
I see those becoming more commonplace as they try and solve our lonely problem.
Absolutely.
Lonely geriatric problem. Which
absolutely.
Makes me sad. We need robots to take us from this. Moving on from robots, I guess there's always augmented reality, which is another form of.
It's a stepping stone to
it's
robots.
It's a stepping stone. Of course, what would a Samsung product be without all of the wonderfulness of Android, other Google Android things? I transitioned into work there. So Google and Samsung are partnering up to support AR Core on Samsung devices. Samsung was a launch partner for AR Core with the S8, of course, but this is just the more formal announcement. And it's just to also show that Samsung isn't on its own doing its own AR thing. Sure, it's got the backing of Oculus for its Gear hardware, but still very much is a double device. You can do Oculus VR on it, you can do Daydream on it, and now you can do AR Core stuff, which is fun, which is good. And anyway, Samsung had to do that if it's going to continually compete with the iPhone.
I suppose so. I'm surprised Samsung didn't try its own AR thing. Be like,
that's
oh,
so
you,
much.
We've got, and then eventually, you know, come around and implement.
Well, and I also imagine that at this point, it's like, I just imagine Google's doing a lot of outreach to its partners to say, like, listen, we really need you to support us here.
Yeah, we're stronger together.
Can you just, like, all right, you've already got Oculus. Can you just push this through, please? Really appreciate it.
Yeah, I suppose we'll see what that actually materializes because it's definitely early days for AR Corp. But,
oh, very.
But they need to be there. Apple, you know, is making a big push on that with the iPhone. We'll see what it actually amounts to. That's what I wonder about AR, because AR is cool. I just don't know how much people are really going to buy into it.
I mean, let's not forget that there are plenty of apps out there that have had AR implemented.
Yeah.
Like Yelp has had that AR feature. Doesn't anybody use it?
That's a good point.
Sony had AR features that you could use in their little Xperia camera apps and...
But maybe people weren't using it because they weren't as familiar with it as a concept, and now there's more of an awareness, and so people will think about it.
Absolutely true.
Yeah. I suppose we'll see. Hey, we've got an email from Mike Welch, who wrote in to say, about a month ago, I installed one of those annoying reward program apps. In this case, it's called Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Sounds like a great app. And quickly noticed it was constantly using my location in the background just to bug me when I got close to one of their locations. I went into Android's permissions and turned off its location access. To my surprise, the app continued to generate notifications when I was near a store. I guessed that maybe once an app has location access, it can somehow retain it even when revoked. So I completely removed the app and reinstalled it, denying location access from the start. To my surprise and concern, the app still knows when I'm near a Tropical Smoothie Cafe store and generates a notification. How can this be? I considered that maybe it was listening for a high-frequency sound coming from the store, but it doesn't even request microphone access. Pretty sure it's probably not doing that. I thought I had a pretty good understanding of how Android works, but this is crazy. Do you know of any tricks or apps that can use... Oh, I see. Do you know of any tricks apps can use to get your location without the official location permission? Thanks for any insights on this. So on a per app basis, which it sounds like Mike already did, if you go into settings, general apps, configure apps, or app settings, app permissions, somewhere in there, your location shows apps. If you go into the your location section, it shows apps with that particular permission. You can disable those for apps in question. But like I said, that's similar to what Mike obviously did, and that didn't seem to do anything.
Okay.
You can go with a more blunt force approach. If I'm understanding what's happening here correctly, if you go into settings and location, there's location mode. And if you look at that, it has three different modes. It has high accuracy, which uses all available options, GPS, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and mobile networks. If you're set on high accuracy, by and large, I think that gives apps greater access to
higher resolution. The system, go ahead. Broadcast.
Every possible way you can track me, do it.
Just do it.
Battery savings is another option. That uses Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and mobile networks, but no GPS, obviously, to save battery. And then there's another one that's device only, which only uses GPS. I'm not sure if that's going to help in this particular situation, but I would imagine if you're turning off location, I don't know. Like, I mean, that's cutting off GPS. I guess I don't understand exactly what that means when you turn off location in the quick settings. Is it actually cutting off all of these other things?
It should be.
It should be.
Because the whole point is you turn that off when you go into airplane mode, it's going to shut off the location like that by default. So the whole point is that you're shutting off these functionalities from pinging.
You're saying, I don't want location being broadcast in any way, shape, or form.
No pinging whatsoever allowed. That's how I'm interpreting it. I think... You made a note in here that makes perfect sense that maybe it was just a badly coded app. Like maybe it just, you know.
Yeah. Maybe
it just wasn't properly configured.
Possibly so. And that's kind of what I was wondering. If you go to the Play Store and you check out the reviews for this app, like they aren't very good. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are pretty poor on the app development side.
How much do you need that smoothie?
Right. How much are you saving on these smoothies? I get it. I understand. But... Yeah, it's just so bizarre that you would actively turn off in your quick settings location, yet the app is still able to pick up on it. And the only thing that I can think of is that even when you turn off location, your cell radio is still transmitting and there's still information in there. Does that mean that the app can get at that information even though you told it location Wise don't track, but I mean, you're still connecting to the cell tower, and maybe it can figure that out.
But it should disclose that.
Yeah, well, you're right.
It should disclose that in the app permissions that it's using Wi-Fi and...
Which, yeah, kind of goes back to how well was this app designed and you know, how much do the designers care about that stuff? The developers care about it. So I don't know if that's a perfect answer for you, Mike, but it's definitely something to think about. And I'm pretty positive we'll get some emails on this after the fact because we usually do on questions like this. Mm-hmm. So AAA@twit.tv if you want to send us your thoughts and maybe we can crack this code that Mike sent in. We're going to take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode, and then we're going to get to our hardware section where we've got some really cool stuff to show off and to talk about. It has something to do with something called a pixel. I don't know. We'll talk about that. But up now, we're going to thank the sponsor of this episode, ZipRecruiter. If you're in need of great talent, you say you own a business, you know, you're probably pretty busy. You're short on time a lot of the times. I know people who are business owners don't have a lot of time on their hands. So you don't have, you don't want to get lost in a huge stack of resumes. You don't have the time to find your perfect hire with all of those resumes come in. And you just need the right tools, smarter tools. And with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one single click. So you'll rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. That's the first big challenge, making sure it's seen by the right people. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting so you receive the best possible matches. And that's the other very important part. You want to get those matches sent to you. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. You can even get a head start on the interview process by adding screening questions to your job post to help identify the most qualified candidates so you don't waste your time filtering through people who are unqualified. You don't have to waste time sorting through a stack of resumes to find the perfect fit anymore. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate through the site in just one day. The easy-to-use ZipRecruiter dashboard lets you manage your hiring practices from start to finish, all in one single place. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, you can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. All you have to do is just go to ZipRecruiter.com/twit. That's ZipRecruiter.com/twit. And we thank ZipRecruiter for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. All right, it's time for... I've been waiting for this because I haven't seen him in person yet. It's time for hardware. I mean, you've got the Pixel devices, but you've also got them in the box. Have you like been living with these? LIVIN?
I have not been living with them because I've been living with the V30.
Oh, okay.
All right. I am not in a rush.
Okay.
I'm not in a rush.
You got the next year.
You've got a whole year until
the next drop of Pixel devices.
I just feel like everybody kind of already laid out their initial reviews.
Yeah.
We all know that initial reviews are like very quickly written. It usually takes a lot of time to really get to know a phone. I'm taking my time with the V30 right now. However, I couldn't help but have my interest piqued when I was hearing about all of the quality control issues with the Pixel 2 and the Pixel 2 XL, which is supposed to be kind of like, maybe not necessarily the sister phone, but because it's manufactured by LG, you can't help but, you know, pick out the similarities between it and
the V30.
And the V30.
Okay.
Now, I've brought all those things with me. But
awesome.
I think, first of all, before we dive into sort of the drama, let's do a quick little show and tell because I want Jason to get some hands-on time with me.
I can't wait. My shipping order, by the way, through the Google site says that it should deliver tomorrow, but I haven't got that like magical email that says it's on its way. So I'm really crossing my fingers that I get it soon.
So this is the box.
Okay, that's amazing.
Wow.
Love it. We've got multiple camera angles and everything.
Box. Wow. All right, I'm going to put that on the ground. Here's the fingerprinty Pixel 2.
Excellent.
I put this on a quiet account, so it doesn't have a lot of stuff on here. I don't use that passcode, so don't get excited. it's just because of this. Oh, I think that's too bright. I'm trying to find a brightness that
there
works.
There we go. That
yeah, this is the Pixel 2. It is really nice. It is really light. It is, it's got this this matte finish to it. I believe this is, somebody said this is not plastic. This is actually like a special kind of metal.
Yeah. But it feels plastic, like the layer.
It feels kind of, yeah, it feels plastic, but it's fine. The screen is nice. It's light. Again, I haven't shot anything with it. I promise I will do a little like photo shootout. I just need some time.
Yeah.
I just need some time. But I'm going to hand this off to Jason.
Oh, okay. All right. So this is the smaller one.
So you can handle it a little bit.
This is the smaller one. I've been very used to, as well, especially the past month, I've been using the Note 8, which is definitely a lot taller.
Oh, wow. Yes.
So, yeah. But, yeah, that feels nice. Oh, I see what you mean. It's got a, like a nice texture on the back.
I know. Yeah. I'm just sorry to underwhelm everybody that I haven't really used it.
Well, no, but I mean, you just
sorry. It's okay.
You just
I got. This is gonna sound like a hump, like a brag, but I got like four phones at the same time, and so I'm kind of in no hurry to review them because the holidays are coming up, and that's kind of the real test of these phones is how are they gonna, you know, deal with all the travel and all the family photos that I need to take and all the communicating I'm going to be doing. So I'm kind of hoping to get something out.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I think immediately one of the first things that I realized between the old Pixel and the new, which I already knew, is that there's no more of that like teardrop shape on the back. You know, the other one kind of had a little bit wider at the top, a little bit narrower down at the bottom, which is a small thing, but I know that bugged some
people.
It doesn't
look really like an HTC phone to me. The Pixel kind of, the first gen looked like an HTC phone. This just looks like a phone.
Yeah.
Like I don't see the influence there.
Yeah, totally.
Whereas like the Pixel 2 XL, which will open over here on the other side of the table. I mean, this has got some, I would say, again, sorry for the fingerprints. I would say that this one, the only thing that's remotely LG-y about it is these rounded corners over here. Because if you look at the LG V30, which I'm going to try and do over here, they've got those same rounded corners to accommodate for that that bezel ratio. But it doesn't feel like an LG phone. Like, this is a light phone. It feels just like the other one, but a bigger version of it.
Well, and that's what everybody, at least all the reviews that I've read, you know, say, which is that this is very much, this is, you know, sure, it had LG's, LG was involved with the larger one. HTC was involved with the smaller one. Mm-hmm. But these are much more, feel much more to a lot of people that have been reviewing it.
And
as
you might want
close,
to turn the brightness down.
Yeah, it looks pretty bright, doesn't it?
Whoops.
There we go. Feel closer to what a Google designed phone would be.
Oh, go down just a tiny bit more so that mountain doesn't look so washed out there at the top.
Jeez.
That's a really, okay, well, that's a bright display. You all saw it there.
Right.
Okay, so those quality control issues that we were talking about, that the internet has been talking about over the weekend. So it first starts off with complaints of burn-in from devices that aren't even 2 weeks old. Now, we can't speak to that here today because these have literally just come out of the box, so they're freshly baked.
Right.
But I will say neither of them had any defect tags on the inside. They are both fine, and they both set up fine and charged fine. Now, you know, we do know that OLED panels are susceptible to that sort of burn in, but, you know, 1 to 2 weeks is not typically normal for that to happen. Also, we see, you know, this is not the same thing as what happens with the image retention we sometimes see in LCD panels. That's actually temporary. What people are talking about is more of a permanent annoyance that stays behind. Google says that it is investigating that particular problem. The Verge even removed the review score until further notice because of it. So it's just like, whoa, craziness. Lots of stuff going on around the internet.
Right.
There's also complaints of discoloration and a blue tint when you look at it at an angle. Now, Jason, would you please look at that at an angle and then...
I absolutely see
now
it.
Now look at this. Look at this. Okay. And put that at high brightness if you need to.
Okay.
They both tint blue.
Yeah, they both do it.
It's I want to say it's a OLED thing? Because I see the blue tint very much so.
Yeah, they both do it.
Yeah, on the LG and Samsung phones, just what I know from the past. But yeah, that blue tint. But the thing is, I don't think that's the same blue tint people are talking about, because I was looking at photos on the internet and it looks more of like a discoloration in the top corners.
Ah, okay.
So
yeah, I mean, that doesn't bug me. I mean, when you look at most displays off axis, like, I feel like there's a reduction either in brightness or a little bit of color shifting that happens. I guess I've just kind of accepted that and gotten used to it.
The colors are represented a tiny bit differently.
The V30, right? Yeah, this is the V30.
The colors, I'm just laughing at my case. The colors are represented a little differently on the XL2 than they are in the V30. Like, you'll see more of a blue tint on the V30. Whereas I feel like the Pixel XL2, for some reason, I want to say it's more lifelike. It's it's like a mute. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Here, can you unlock this and yes. I'll show the... well, actually, this probably has a different app drawer to it.
I'm on the Pixel app drawer.
Oh, okay. Okay, so, I just wanted to do side-by-side, like...
It's not as... Whoa. Sorry, I turned up the... I know, I am blinding everybody. Goodness gracious me.
Okay. Man, it's so hard. I wish there was some way to get them all.
It's the displays these days.
Okay. Just stop. This is not easy, folks. All right, there we go. All right. So I just wanted to see kind of like, yeah, they have basically a very similar kind of color wash. It almost seems like the V30 is a little bit bluer. They're obviously not dialed perfectly at the same brightness that you see here.
No, not at all.
I don't feel like this is a game changer for me. If it was just that looking at it off axis shifts the color a little bit, like, that doesn't bug me. I never look at it off axis anyways. I always look at it straight on. And if it looks great like that, then that's fine by me.
Well, there are also complaints of black smearing when scrolling, which I haven't experienced.
I've seen that on my Pixel, and it doesn't bug me.
This is existing on last year's Pixel. Speaking of the Pixel 2, the regular, the little one, there's complaints of high-pitched whines and clicking noises coming from its speakers. As well as complaints of imbalanced speakers on the front. I believe that was for the Pixel 2.
Yeah, that was for the Pixel 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just like a small laundry list of things people are complaining about.
So, Victor, if you wouldn't mind bringing up that link from Stephen Hall on Twitter. Stephen Hall is at 9to5 Google. He's been really good just about like following up on this. So you can see this sort of graininess exhibited in this little photo.
Yeah, I've noticed. I've looked at this a couple of times. You see it. You actually see it less, I feel like, when you zoom in on it. But you can kind of see what you're looking at is the very bottom bar, which is the navigation bar, and you can kind of see how there's a nice block line there, and the three little dots from the supposed burn-in that's happening. Not that I don't doubt that it's happening. But that's what you're seeing there. It's kind of, you have to stare at it for a few before you actually start to see it. I think it's troubling though, that you start seeing this at such an early time. And if this is happening on multiple phones, which is happening on definitely a number of reviewers' phones, that's not insignificant.
It's true, especially if it's happening to those reviewer phones. I mean, that's a small, like, what is that, like 3,000 units or something? Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I mean, there are reports coming out that Google's going to like issue a software update. So there was a statement to 9to5 Google where Google had confirmed that it recognized people's complaints and that it will look into, quote unquote, adding more options to control the colors on its display.
To control the color gamut kind of complaints that people have.
I don't know if enough about displays to speak on that.
I mean, and some people are complaining also that the display in general doesn't have, you know, doesn't pop. It's not oversaturated the way some displays that, you know, the general public that has a device, you know, like Samsung devices, for example, are kind of fall in that camp where when you look at the displays, it's almost like in some ways they're more saturated than what
they are.
Baseline.
Just look at the reds.
View would be.
Just
and
compare reds.
That's very pleasing to the eye for a lot of people.
It makes pictures look really good.
I actually kind of like it, but it also doesn't bother me to see something that's a little bit more flat, which is what people are complaining about with the Pixels.
I like the flatness of the Pixels. It's just this, it fits in with this Google aesthetic that I strive to carry in my hand each day. And they've totally sold me on the whole like package of the material design and the way everything just kind of fits nicely together with the design of the Pixel phones. Like, it's all this nice cohesive package. But as far as, you know, if you should be worried about this, now I have gotten a lot of queries, which is why I feel kind of bummed that I haven't had much time to really like delve into this. I've gotten a lot of queries about, so what should I do? Should I cancel my Pixel 2 XL order?
Right. Well, in fact, Todd Baldwin wrote in. He says, this is breaking my heart. My Pixel 2 XL ships in 3 days, and I am considering canceling the order. Do you have any advice? This is my first LG phone, and I'm not hearing good things about LG's track record with quality control.
Now, I wouldn't worry so much, because you do have Google. If you ordered it from the Google store, like, you've got Google's protection against it. So if you have an issue, I mean, customer service, you can just call them and...
Well, yeah. I mean, they cover, is it 15 or 30 days? Once you buy a device from Google, you have 15 or 30 days. It's a big difference, I know, but I didn't look it up prior to the show. I'm sure someone in chat will throw it in there. But you have some time to get your full money back. As long as the phone's in good condition, you can send it back. So I wouldn't cancel your order. Get it. See if the color shifting or the color issues, whatever you want to call it, really bothers you. And if it does, you have like more than a week at the very early,
these things are popping up is like right at the,
I mean, if it's the burn-in issue, that's a different story. And I feel like if even, I don't quote me on this, but I would guess that even if you get outside of that 30 days and this burn-in issue, because it's been called out this early on in device release, if it ends up being a big issue that's actually a hardware issue, I'd be really surprised if Google didn't rectify that.
I was going to say.
Yeah. What's that, 15 days? So 15 days from when it arrives at your doorsteps is Hell's Kitchen, and Burka is saying that here as well. So you have that amount of time if the color kind of temperature or whatever the complaints are of the display bother you that much, you can send it back. But I think if it's this burn-in issue and it's an actual hardware issue and it's a manufacturing issue and they figure it out and they fix it, I'd be really surprised if Google didn't rectify
that. I want to know if people are getting this if they buy their phones from Verizon too. Like, I want to, because that's going to be another sort of headache, because if you order your phone from Verizon, you have to deal with Verizon customer service, which in my experience has been pretty okay. You know, I've gotten things I needed from them with enough calling. So, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
Don't give up, because...
Don't stop.
Because...
Believing.
And just like one little side note, which may be Flo getting a little too like personal with how she's feeling about all these things, but there are so many awful things happening in the world, and I promise you, this is like not that bad. Comparatively,
that will always be the case, though.
I hate to say, but
there are other issues.
Like, Note 7 level freak out. There's nobody getting burned here.
That's a really good point, right? Safety issue. This might not be Note 7 level freak out, but Note 7 was about as bad as it could possibly get for a company.
That's true.
And Samsung totally rectified it and came out, and obviously that didn't hurt Samsung because they're doing okay. You know what I mean?
True.
People were, they gave refunds, they gave discounts on the future model. I mean, they completely undid this thing that felt at the time pretty catastrophic for Samsung. And obviously it wasn't. They were able to undo it. This is pretty minor compared to that. So I don't know. Get it. See how you feel. Don't cancel your order. I don't think you need to. If you're excited about the phone, get it and see what you think. And if you don't like it, return it. They'll take it back. If you're within that window, at least.
You know, though, if it were an iPhone,
would people be freaking out about this more if it were an iPhone or less?
I think they'd be freaking out about the same amount.
Yeah. Would Android fans be freaking out about it and iPhone people not care?
Ha! Welcome to our world.
Because sometimes that happens, right? This big thing happens and people glom on. You know, people who don't, you know, live in the iPhone world have been known to make a big deal out of things that happened with an iPhone. And some iPhone users would say, like, we just don't really care. You guys are the one making all the noise. Do you agree with that? Do you think that happens? I feel like that happens sometimes.
I could be wrong. I understand the issue. It's happening on the phone that costs the most of the two.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be, you know, our intro to a high-powered, high-performance Google phone that is going to cost you a premium because you're getting the best of the bunch.
Yeah.
And if it does have, like, those display issues, that it does have this manufacturing thing, I think that maybe, you know, I'm sure that could be traced back to something. I mean, how many leaks did we have over the summer? Who knows what happened in manufacturing? Who knows what happened with deals and business contracts and you know, supply chains and...
Yeah.
Just all sorts of factors that could have been introduced that could have caused this. And what a bummer. But hey, Google, welcome to making your own phones. Welcome to making your own phones. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm so sorry, by the way. I didn't realize.
Out of context and unintentional.
Yeah, that was completely unintentional. And I apologize to anybody that I just triggered. But yeah, welcome to the phone game, Google. You're officially here with us. They've got a big complaint. Here, yeah. You've made it.
You've made it. You've arrived.
You've made it. You've had arrived. A scandal. This is great.
Well, speaking of the Note, we can transition to that. I've been living with the Note 8, Samsung Note 8, for about a month now. And here's what I realize, because, I mean, we play with a lot of phones all the time.
And by the way, I apologize, because I realized we did talk about doing the Note 8 together on air, but I've just been so distracted by the V30.
Don't worry about it. It's all good. I'm sure you have thoughts, and I can see you have some pictures. Oh, no, you don't. I put in the pictures. Sorry.
Those are your pictures.
Those are my pictures. Anyways, okay, so spent a lot of time with the Note 8, use it for a month. And the best thing that I can say is with the phones I like the most, the thing that comes to mind is that I don't get around to pulling my SIM out and going back. And if I do that, if that happens, and this totally happened with the Note 8, then I know, at least in my opinion, it's a good phone. Because there are a lot of phones that I use, and I do my review, and it's the easiest thing in the world for me to be like, all right, done with that, SIM out, back of my phone,
yep.
Life goes on. But with the Note 8, I keep putting it off, and I know that means that I actually really like it. The S Pen, I will definitely say, still not a part of my daily routine. It's just not a thing that I ever think to use. Nice to have, I suppose.
It's good for pointing.
I suppose, but so is my finger.
It all depends on how you use it.
Yeah, I just never do. And the only time I ever use it is when I show someone that it exists, basically. The device feels really nice. People ask me about it all the time when I'm out and about. They're like, oh, man, that's a nice looking phone. So from a stylistic standpoint, aside from the fingerprint wall that you see back here, stylistically, people see this phone and it's very eye-catching. It feels really nice when I pull it out. As you can see, I don't have a case. I'm like, all right, I'm going to see if I can do it. Can I live a month without a case on a very delicate, fragile phone, and I've done fine. I don't know if that speaks to me.
I have a glittery case with your name on it, by the way, for the Note 8. Though I will say, as a caveat, one thing some of the cases do, make it hard to get to the S Pen.
Oh,
just FYI.
Oh, yeah,
I've been finding that.
It ends up being more recessed in there and popping that out, I imagine.
It's harder if you have long nails.
I imagine it would make finding the fingerprint sensor a little bit easier, because I know that was the way it was on the S8 and the S8 Plus, that it was up there, and if you had a case, that at least gave your finger an extra guide.
Yeah.
Because I hate where it's located, and if they don't fix that on the 9...
It's not intuitive at all.
Oh, it sucks so bad.
So unintuitive.
And I have not gotten used to it, and it just is a constant inconvenience. Thankfully, I've set up Iris scanning, and that helps, but when it doesn't, it helps most of the time, but still, it's like part of my instinct to reach for
what?
The fingerprint sensor.
I miss the side power button on the V30.
Oh, yes. Well, I picked up the V30.
Because it's
like,
really,
because
I can't turn it on without putting my finger behind it.
Yeah,
so anyway, usability.
Pictures. I've been taking so many pictures.
Yeah,
let's see
your pictures. Can we see your pictures?
Pretty darn awesome. That's our new
is
dog.
That your pup?
That's a new dog, Sugar.
Wow, Sugar looks really good. This is very high res. Is this with portrait mode?
This is with the portrait mode or whatever Samsung calls it. I'm blanking. You can see a little bit. If you go up
focus
on
something.
If you go up onto her forehead, you can kind of see where the blurring begins.
Yeah,
if you really go
there
in there, you see it on like the hair on the tuft of her head and everything. So, I mean, there's a little bit of artifact there, but I mean, when you're all zoomed out, it looks really great. They don't all turn out that well, but they do. This is me and Sugar
selfie.
Being on the same page.
But it just takes really great pictures. And I was really happy and took a lot of pictures. I'm super stoked on the 2x zoom, which I really want.
Really?
An optical zoom. I love it. I use it all the time.
Look at these. So. Yes. The lighting is nice in these photos.
Thank you.
That's is that your house?
That's my living room. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But that's good that the Note 8 can produce that, that it's not like yellowing it or something.
Yeah, this is moderately close
that's
up.
Corn.
That's corn. That's this corn. Is pumpkin patch time.
Yes, it's that time of year.
Yeah, so
90 degrees in pumpkin patch.
Yes, exactly. That's life in California, Northern California. Let's see here. What else we got? We got a few more, I know. Let's see. Oh, that's one of my girls, pumpkin patch. But you can see, okay, so above,
really good.
Above her head. So this is the portrait mode too, but above her head, you can see there's a shirt behind her. That is totally in focus. So it's not perfect. You know what I mean? It doesn't catch it 100%
But it
of the
looks
time.
So good from far away. And like you, and then you can share this on Instagram or Facebook or whatever. And it's
most
already...
people wouldn't notice. I mean, I would notice that because that shirt totally stands out. Everything else back there is blurred, but that shirt's totally in focus. So that would bug me. But that's an example of it not working. And then I think I have some low light stuff.
Oh, this looks like Samsung low light. I can see like kind of the graininess.
A little grainy. That was a really dark room.
I know, but that's how it works.
Yeah.
It just comes out. I mean, it comes out grainy, but you get more
you
of
get
a
it.
Sliver of what's going
totally,
on.
Totally. Totally. I was pretty happy with that, considering the grain. This was at a concert, Spiritualized. And the next one, man, I just love this picture.
Yeah, that's
this
a good
was,
photo.
This was at a concert. And I mean, the clarity of everything that you see in there, the beams coming off the party ball or whatever you call that. Why am I blanking? Anyways.
Disco ball.
Disco ball. There we go. Pretty happy with the picture and video quality. I think there's also a video somewhere in there, but whatever. Video's video. I love having. So check this out. This was a cool thing that I saw at the SF Music Tech Summit.
Oh.
It's like a little moving piece of artwork under a black light. Anyways.
Oh, neat.
I love having the headphone jack, and I will definitely miss it as I can transition from onto the Pixel 2 XL. So anyways, that's the Note 8. That's my time with it. I've had a lot of fun with it. I'm ready for the Pixel 2 XL to arrive because then I will have more of a motivating reason to... Oh, you're giving me yours?
No, it's not mine. I'm borrowing it for one night only.
Oh, but this is them side by side. The Pixel 2 XL maybe slightly wider?
Yeah, it's a tiny bit wider. And the Note is a tiny bit taller.
Maybe a hair.
It is a 6.4-inch display on the Note.
Yeah, the Note is a tiny bit slimmer. Anyway,
it is.
Anyways.
And they're both water resistant, which is so nice.
Yes. Happy they did that.
Although it does encourage you or inspire you, rather, to check your email.
While you're underwater.
While you're...
I guarantee you, I will never check my email while I'm underwater.
To work, waiting for your leaving conditioner.
Just leave your phone out of there.
I know, this is what happened to our society. They said you need to work, so we're going to make it so you can work everywhere.
Oh, man, no thank you.
I'm just giving in.
All right, we got one more story. It's got your initials.
We do have one more story, and it does have my initials on it. The story is that the Essential Phone, with everything going on in the world... of the world of phones, that is, maybe the Essential Phone looks a little more enticing to you at its $499 price point. That's a $200 drop on the Essential Phone. Now, we know the Essential Phone didn't sell very much.
Rocky start.
Rocky start. So, you know, if you want to be a part of history, you could buy yourself an Essential Phone today. And apparently there are some improvements being made to the camera software. So if that's something you want to hold out for, since the reviews were sort of talking about the camera not being up to snuff.
Oh, it was not good.
But you know, it's an Essential Phone and it's $500 and it's cheaper than the new Pixels.
$500 is definitely more enticing for the device. If you are big into like having a phone that has a unique style to it, if that matters to you, doesn't matter to a lot of people, but it does to some, and you want kind of the modular capability, or maybe you just have faith that Essential as
you
a brand.
Just gotta have faith.
Yeah. That the Essential brand, like you want to be there from the beginning. You like what Andy Rubin is doing. I think $500 is a much better price for this.
Or
I
you can buy a OnePlus 5 And you get 6 gigs of RAM.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting comparison, actually. Because this puts it almost directly.
And a better
camera. It takes it out of premium smartphone category.
And puts it
into the pretty darn good smartphone for a very good price.
Flagship utility.
Yeah.
Utility flagship.
Is that the
I want to make up a category for
category.
It. But I just think of it as those phones that, man, this is a really good phone, but maybe it's not going to really turn heads. You know, it's like a really good leather jacket. It's going to last you for eons. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it might not.
You know.
Huh? Although these are smartphones we're talking about here, it might not last eons.
I don't. Okay, so that metaphor didn't work. Never mind. But you know, essential phone, $500 if you want to.
Well, yeah, and not only that, if you already have an essential phone, you have the ability to either get a friends and family coupon worth the same amount, the $200, towards a new device. So if you wanted to give that to a friend or whatever, I guess that takes that off, or 360-degree camera, just given to you, so you can use their add-on with the 360-degree camera and not have to pay for it. So you got some incentive, I suppose.
Sure.
There you go. All right, we're going to take a break and thank the sponsor of today's episode of All About Android, and then we'll get into some app news. Before we do that, let's thank Video Blocks by Storyblocks. If you need sound effects for podcast production, if you do video production and you need a video background, maybe even for your website or a hero image on your blog, all these things, your creative needs might be compromised because you have budget constraints, let's say. It's not always easy to secure the right image, the right material, the right assets for your project. You can get studio quality stock video for a fraction of the cost with Video Blocks. You download all the stock video your heart desires from their member library. That includes over 115,000 studio quality HD videos, After Effects templates to get you started there, motion backgrounds, and a whole lot more. All content is royalty free. So you can use it for commercial as well as personal projects. Everything you download is then yours to keep and use forever. And new clips are added all the time. They're added regularly. So there's always something fresh to download, new things to pick from. Also, you get exclusive discounts on additional marketplace clips. You save 40% and the original artists take home 100% of the sale price. You'll get access to over 5 million additional videos that are available to purchase directly from artists. Now, we do video here at Twit. From time to time, we do video here on All About Android. And in fact, our TD, Victor, produced something. I think you may remember it. Mateo's Hardware Shack used some video right there that was actually secured through Video Blocks. Easy to, if what you're looking to do is create a bumper that integrates a goat, which is what you would want to do if you're creating a bumper that involves Mateo, then you know. Now, the Video Blocks is the place to go to find it. Don't risk the quality of a project due to the high cost of acquiring footage with Video Blocks. You don't have to use old or outdated footage of goats. No more footage with an ugly watermark. Video Blocks footage has been used by over 90,000 customers, including NBC, National Geographic, the History Channel, the Travel Channel, and of course, All About Android. Go to videoblocks.com/android. to get all the stock video you can imagine for $149 a year. All the video, all you can eat. Don't eat the video, but you can get them. That's videoblocks.com/android to save on millions of studio quality clips from Video Blocks. And we thank Video Blocks by Storyblocks for their support of All About Android and for helping us create bumpers. And thanks to Victor for editing it too. Videoblocks.com/android. All right, it's time for a little bit of app news. Oh yeah. Oh, this is a quick one.
Oh, yay.
Actually, most of these are pretty quick, actually. But when I did the switch with Megan Maroney, when I did the iOS for a month and she did Android for a month, one of the things I noticed almost immediately on iOS is that my two-factor authentication app, Authy, had fingerprint security on iOS. Doesn't on Android, or didn't on Android, for months. And I never understood why, because we've had fingerprints since before iOS. What is the deal? Well, finally, Authy got around to it.
there's not a whole lot to say other than you can now, with the Authy beta, finally use fingerprint support. And I don't really know why it took this long. It seems like a no-brainer, but it's integrated in there now. And I just really hope that this is a signal of things to come from, or at least a signal of what app developers are thinking about the fingerprint sensor and, you know, just supporting it. Because I'm honestly kind of baffled that at this point, how long have we had fingerprint sensors? And yet it's still not like a mandatory inclusion to support them. So many phones have fingerprint sensors right now. And when it's an app that's built around security, like why? Why not? I don't get it. Tell me, Flo, why?
Life is hard. I don't know what to tell you.
Good answer.
We just slog through it.
But thank you for doing that, Authy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Authy. We do slog through life with subscriptions to things, which Google is hoping to incentivize developers to make subscriptions more of a thing in the Play Store. So like Apple, Google's taking a playbook by reducing the Play Store fee for Android app subscriptions. Essentially, this means, you know, if a customer, for instance, me, has been subscribed to something like, oh, I don't know, HBO Go.
Okay.
Which you can actually subscribe with your Google Play account, which is awesome because it just takes money out of that account. If you've been subscribed for a year or longer, the devs will only pay 15% store transaction fee instead of 30%. And this is going to become in effect January 1st, 2018. Apple, well, I don't know if January 1st, we should just say January 2018 because we all know sometimes it means like January 30th. Apple did this last year. It helps, again, keep the apps and services from bypassing the Play Store to avoid paying fees. It also keeps app quality higher to entice users to stick around. So it's just more processes put into place to make the Play Store more of a, I mean, I don't want to say legitimate app marketplace. It's definitely a legitimate marketplace. It's just to make it more for developers to invest in.
Google wants, if there are subscriptions happening inside apps, even though it's possible to do it outside of the Play Store, Google wants to make it easy for developers to route it through the Play Store so that they can get a cut. And this is a way to do it. I like the long-term ramification of that, which is, you know, if it's a pretty sizable incentive, if you're talking on a per user basis of your app, if you have a very popular app, to incentivize you to keep updating the app, keep it, you know, up to par for a year or longer so that you know that you're going to get that discount. And that actually translates to some good money that you save as a result.
Yep.
So, developers are always looking
keep
for
them,
ways
to
make
back
more money.
For more.
So there you go. Yeah. And speaking of coming back for more, I'll come back for more Monument Valley when Monument Valley 2 comes out. Apparently, because we knew it's on the horizon, you can now go to the Play Store and pre-register for Monument Valley 2 if you, like me or like I, are excited for this new game. I loved the first one. There aren't many games that I play beginning to end. I start them and I get really excited about them, and then I get distracted by the next big thing. Or life happens, that's usually the case. And then I just kind of never go back to it. And Monument Valley, like I did, something about it, I just loved it. So I'm really excited for this next version.
The artist behind Monument Valley is coming out with a game called Florence.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did they consult you?
They did not consult me, but I did see that headline on The Verge today. So I figured I would share that there is a game named after me that is not affiliated with me.
Well, we need to change that. Back in the history of All About Android, we've had games created, the All About Android game. Did you know that that exists?
No, I didn't know that existed.
Okay, we're going to do a little history here.
This wasn't part of the welcome package.
Android Play Store. There is a game. Is it Matthew Holtzum is the developer? Holtzer? Let's see here.
Live riffing.
Yes. Let's see here. Matthew. Jeez, why can't I not find this? Maybe I need to go to Play Store instead of Google search. Somebody in the chat is going to find this before I do. But let's see here. Or it's possible that it's not up anymore. This was years ago. All About Android. Gosh, maybe it's not there anymore.
Maybe it's gone. Maybe Google was like, what is this?
But I installed it. It should at least show for me. It's got to be in there. It's too old and outdated, says Sean. Oh, man. It was a platform runner. It was a platformer.
Oh, it was a platformer?
It was a platformer.
Of you, Ron, and Gina? And yes. Your little Android characters?
Yes. Whatever happened to
wow.
that game? Wait a minute. No.
I found it. Oh,
I found
wow.
it. All About Android, the game. Okay,
that
so Victor,
really nice.
Victor, I'm putting it in. Third link underneath that last story. Hopefully it's still...
I had no idea.
And yeah, I mean, it's probably the best
video
game there ever was. And I say was because I don't know the last time it was
you
updated.
Guys, this is half the art from Scribblenauts, it looks like. It probably isn't, and I apologize to the developer. I shouldn't. It looks like the same style as Scribblenauts, I should say.
So, yeah, there you go. This is speed round. We're picking up cupcakes and donuts.
Wow. Cupcakes and donuts.
Yep.
How far we've come.
This is Gina era. So Jason, Gina, Ron. You can play as any one of your favorite old school characters.
Wow.
Apparently, Matthew Holtzman needs to update the game to include Florence. And make Victor a hidden character.
I agree. He should jump out from behind and give you a bonus.
Anyway, so yes, this does exist, and you can find it. All About Android, the game by Matthew Holtzman.
Last updated 2014.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little old. It requires Android 2.2 or above.
Woo!
Look, we support all versions of Android.
We support all versions.
There's even an upside down version. Anyways, I'm really happy that we got to talk about that again because I completely forgot.
Yeah.
There is also an All About Android alarm clock.
Wake up, it's Flo in the morning.
Well, no, what was it called? It was Is All About Android On right now or something like that. All About Android.
We're always
live.
On. As long as you go to twit.tv.
Oh, man. Why is this search so bad? It should be pulling these things up.
You know, Play Store search has not always been the most fruitful of search engines.
Apparently,
surprisingly.
They have that going for them. Google. And all.
Search engine company.
I mean, to be fair, these are probably really low. Oh, is it time for AAA? That's it, Sean. These are probably really low installs. So as far as the importance
yeah, they're
ranking,
like,
it's, okay, so
we're not servicing that for
time
you.
For AAA. I wonder if this even still works. Let's see here. Okay, so there it is. Is it time for AAA by 47 Software?
Computing
we showed
showtime.
It off in the arena, if I remember correctly. Maybe it wasn't in the arena. Maybe we just showed it off in the app section. and I don't know if it's kept up to date with any time changes. Again, September 30th, 2013 was the last update on this app.
Man, where I was at that point in my life.
yeah, life is a lot different. Anyways, we've got some awesome fans.
We do.
But I'd love to see these updated. No, you know what? You've got more important things to work on. There it is.
Wow, look at those old phones. Look at this blast from the past. What is that, the Nexus 4?
Can you turn up the audio real quick? I want to hear this.
Time. It totally failed.
It totally failed.
Oh, that's right. We tried to show it off because it was All About Android time. And it's one job is to show us when All About Android is live.
One job.
And it didn't do it. That's a Galaxy Nexus, by the way.
Oh, sorry, Galaxy Nexus. Whoa, sorry about that, everyone.
All right, anyway.
This is a great start.
Thank you, Victor, for jumping through those hoops.
For indulging us.
Yes, I'll go ahead and put that in the show notes. You can always find the show notes at twit.tv/AAA. I've got both of those links in there if you want to take a trip back in time. You want to go back in time, you can do that.
Let's take a trip to an email.
Yeah.
Another email.
Okay.
This one's from Daniel. Daniel wanted to comment on why I still buy physical media, Blu-rays, as opposed to Ron, who doesn't want to get them anymore. Besides collecting them, my parents mostly like watching movies in Spanish, and here in the U.S., digital movies only offer an English language track, so I can't really load up my digital movies so that they can watch them. I hope this improves someday and more language tracks are offered. I agree. Secondly, I love the Movies Anywhere app, and finally being able to connect all my accounts into one place is great! To my surprise, all my Vudu digital movies also showed up in my Google Play movies collection. This means that everyone in my Google Play family account can access all of my movies. I don't know if anyone noticed this. I think it is awesome. That is super awesome.
Yeah.
And by the way, everyone out there, full PSA, the family plan, the family account of Google Play is a huge asset to you and your friends, your close family members, like anybody that you just want to share media with. I love sharing things with my gal pals. We buy TV shows and like movies, and we share them in an account so that everybody can just like, you know.
Is that okay? Is that legit?
We're family. We're friends family.
Oh, okay.
They're my family.
Framily.
You know, we consume
these things.
They're
in the terms of service, framily.
It's with the people that I consume a lot of things with.
Okay.
So it's us like all supporting each other because, you know, media is expensive. We're not pirating it. We're paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also how I share my YouTube TV account.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the family.
Are you sure you're not just saying things and maybe.
No, I do. You can. Okay. I do this. I put them on the family account.
Okay.
It's okay. My husband and two of my friends, and we all share media this way.
Okay. Uncle Bick in chat says it's allowed.
Yeah, it is.
I have it. And it's great.
It's awesome. And it has helped encourage my Apple using friends. Two of whom on my family account are to use Google Play, which is awesome. Okay. So it gives
that's
them a reason
product,
to get away from iTunes. So I am helping the Google economy by bringing Apple people over to our ecosystem is what's happening
that's
here.
That's a good way to put it. I am very happy that that Daniel pointed this out because I feel like I meant to mention that once you do this syncing, it's like those videos don't only just appear in the Movies Anywhere app.
Yeah.
They also appear on your Play Store, in the collection. It's weird that it requires this app in order to make that happen, that relationship happen.
I think the app is probably
nice
a validator in that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the nice thing about physical media these days, and I only know this from commercials because I haven't purchased anything physical, and we buy LPs. Again, so California.
Long players, records.
Records.
Yes.
You know, because they're collector's items nowadays.
Yeah.
They become more collector's items. But
and they sound great.
The Blu-rays come with digital versions, which, you know, is great. So
and sometimes you can find Blu-rays for sale really cheap, like even cheaper than you can get them on
some are limited
on stores
edition
and whatever. And they come with the digital. So it makes sense to just buy it that way and then sync your account and whatever.
Some, like Disney, puts DVDs back in the vault.
Yeah. Why they do that? I understand why
they
do that.
And they make it really hard to stream on the internet, and they make it really expensive to rent. Okay, anyway.
Oh, we love you, Disney. Anyways, so it's time. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are we gonna battle? Just Flo and I, we're going to battle in the arena.
This is going to be such a friendly battle.
So many enter, but only one lives.
I love that Zephyr in chat just a few moments ago said, I feel like I'm listening to Jason and Flo in the morning. All it needs is zoo sounds and actual morning. It's true. This is like the morning zoo. Jason and Flo edition. I like it. It's a lot of fun. All right. Last week we had a poll. I hope that you voted. And if you didn't, too late. twit.to/AAAvote339. And let's see what the results were.
Launcher numero uno.
Wow, by one vote. Nice. Wow, just barely eking out Movies Anywhere.
How relevant.
Yeah. So 127 votes versus 126 votes. So
but
literally
still
a 40%. Single vote.
Okay. Oh,
still 40%, but yeah. But I mean, yeah, exactly. So, okay, and then third place, Spot on Alarm for Spotify at 13%, and fourth place is Bait at 7%. All right, good. I'm happy to accept that win. I don't know if we have results, and it's okay if we don't, but if they appear, I will let you know because I'm curious, because this week kind of throws things for a loop because we don't have Ron here.
It's good for me.
And we don't have guests here. I think it's good for both of us, actually.
Oh, here we go. So thank you again,
thank you. Wade County.
I know us starting early has kind of kicked off the timeline a little bit. But the arena through the week, we've got Ron in first place still with 115. This is week 42, by the way. Me in second place at 110, guests at 107, and Jason, you are hovering at 101.
I am so far behind at this point.
It's okay. It's all right.
Well, that's
quite a gap. All I can say is, yeah, you and I both benefit this week because it's just you and I. So,
but we, you know what we should do? I think this weekend we should just like download a bunch of apps and just like, because I got to do it in chunks, you know.
We got this.
I got to get them in chunks so that I know, like.
Yeah, it's true.
You know,
Is it time for AAA still worked? I might bring that back, but because it's been so long, it needs a revamp. If 47 Software revamps it, then it qualifies in our rules that we can bring it back. Just saying.
True.
Bring it back.
True.
All right. So let's dive into the apps of the day and flow because you were just a little bit behind last week.
Just a little bit.
You're going to go first.
I am going to go first with a very, very simple app. It is called Bluetooth Volume. And if you'll look over here in this camera, you will see that it is such a beautifully simple app. I connect a lot of Bluetooth gadgets to my smartphone. I connect a lot of speakers and smart speakers. Some of them are louder than others. Sometimes I've got my music dongle in my car, which connects through auxiliary. And then I've also got the phone call Bluetooth in my car. So I have two separate Bluetooth devices in the car that I have to deal with. And I like to juggle sort of, it's nice to be able to control the volume because one thing I found is that Android natively doesn't really let you do a lot of Bluetooth customization. So this, you know, was developed by a developer who wanted to listen to Spotify through the car radio, which is exactly what I was trying to look for. They were having problems with resetting the Bluetooth volume to 50% every time a device would connect to something. And so this kind of helped ensure to get the full volume output that they could get.
So what does it do? When you connect to Bluetooth with that particular device, it automatically sends a command to set the volume to a certain level that you specify prior?
Yes. So it'll kind of like bypass that and set that up for you. You can set music volume. You can differentiate between music and call volume. If you've got like a multi-mode setup in your car, which I do not, I'm not actually 100% sure about. I think autoplay, I haven't used it, which is why I'm not 100% sure. But I believe this means that when you hook onto the Bluetooth, it'll fire up whatever was playing in the background. So like if you were listening to Pocket Casts or something, maybe it'll just log on. But I haven't tested that. It's got reaction delay, adjustment delays. Like you can kind of get these little granular controls over your Bluetooth devices. Settings are very simple. There's not really much to this app. It's just a good sort of helper. And then if you need to get in touch with the developer makes themselves, they have their contact information in the about right here. So you can get in contact with them if you need something.
Nice. I'm like trying to find here. I feel like there was an email not very long ago that was asking about this autoplay thing.
Yes.
And this would be an app to kind
of
to do that.
Yes.
I'm trying to find the email to know who asked that question. But I can't find it. Not this quickly. But that's great. That's awesome. It seems like it gives you a lot of control if you're using a lot of Bluetooth devices, especially. I don't really use a whole lot of Bluetooth, to be honest. But if you are, that would come in really handy.
Autoplay, by the way, just reacts like the play button. So, just FYI.
Right. Well, there are some...
It simulates pressing the Bluetooth controller's play button.
Okay.
And that's a premium feature. And I have to be honest that I can't remember if I paid for this or not to unlock it.
So, let's see here.
Sorry.
No. Dang it. I really wanted to find that email, but I can't find it. So, but the email that I'm thinking of... Specifically in that regard, it was a question where it said sometimes when I'm connecting, it forces an autoplay and I never want it to do that. So I'm wondering if
unchecking that will override that setting.
Maybe. And I haven't had that
maybe
issue.
Maybe unchecking that, but then also like slightly adjusting the level on that particular device. That way it sends a command that says no to autoplay, yes to this level of volume.
I haven't tested that, so I can't speak to that.
I don't know, but it's a good place to go, whoever you were. And I can't find in the dock. I did a search for Bluetooth, and you can imagine how many matches came back on that. So that is Bluetooth volume control. And you can check that out. Bluetooth volume control by Darken. Looks like it's the developer on that.
Darken.
I'm going to admit that my app is not an app that nobody's ever heard of. Or maybe you haven't. I had heard the name of it, but I didn't realize like how big of an app it was. It's produced by Warner Brothers. It's called Heads Up. I think it was even on like the Ellen DeGeneres show or whatever.
Yes, I don't know. That's why I was going to say Ellen made it very popular.
Okay. All right. I didn't realize that. But I did know that when I was in Sacramento a couple of weeks ago and we were eating at a restaurant, we looked over at a table and the entire table, this kid had a phone up to her head and it had words on it. And the entire table was trying to guess, was trying to give her clues as to what she was. And then when she guessed it, you know, appropriately or whatever, she would.
Should we try it?
Yeah. So basically how it works, you get all these different segments, different topics, right? And down here, there are more decks. So you have like an in-app purchase of different decks of things that you can be if you want more. There's Star Wars and a bunch of other ones. But let's see here.
What about a Halloween-themed one?
Okay. Is there one? Oh, there is. Okay, so Trick or Treat, for example. So this is it's kind of like a board game, but it uses your phone. And the idea behind it is you pick a card deck, and when I hit play, I have to put this phone on my forehead. Okay. I'm not going to see what it says, but you will, Flo.
Okay.
And it's going to give a bunch of words in a certain amount of time. And you have to point me in the right direction of what I am at that particular moment so that I guess the right word. And if I guess it, I flip my phone downward. That counts it in here as a I guessed it.
Oh,
if I flip it up, that's an I pass.
All right.
And
so don't flip it.
So I'm going to I'm so bad at these games, so this is probably going to be pretty embarrassing. But this is a Trick or Treat, so I'm going to go ahead and hit play. And then I'll place it on my forehead. It's probably best to just have this.
Okay. It's okay. I can see from here.
I got to not look at the screen, too.
Okay. It's what happens when you enter in the closet and the light isn't on?
You turn it on. It's dark.
Yes.
Okay.
This was a popular 80s cartoon about
Scooby-Doo?
Mutant teenage...
Cowabunga, dude.
Oh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes. This guy is a quack. He's on daytime TV. He helped do the Cash Me Outside girl. He gave her... Okay. It was Dr. Phil, by the way.
Okay.
This is a flavor of... This is the flavor of the Oreo cookie on the outside.
Mystery.
Unknown. The cookie is...
Chocolate.
Yes. This is what you do to your house when you want to make it all Halloween-y.
Decorate.
Yes. This is the inside of your body. It holds you
blood.
Up. No, it's
skin. No, bones.
Close. Yes.
Skeleton.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
We just played Heads Up on All About Android.
Also, so, if you pass... it comes back around if you have more time at the end, so
you can come back to the ones that you skip.
All right. So apparently, I scored 5.
Wait, so Dr. Phil was in the Happy Halloween pack?
That's weird.
That's shade. Anyway, go on.
All right. Anyways. This might be a cheesy app pick.
That was fun.
I don't know. It's a fun game. Is the thing. That's why I brought it in here. It's actually fun. I played it with my kids. We had a blast with it. I didn't realize the kind of where it came from. Probably you all have heard of it, but I hadn't until I saw it in the restaurant. I was like, what is that?
That's a family game. That's a fun family game, and I am in support of apps like this because it brings people together when they're bored and they're on their phones anyway.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it, because we go to restaurants and only if we're like incredibly lazy do we ever give our kids a phone at the restaurant. I guarantee, like 99% of the time we don't do that, but every once in a while we want date night and we don't have a babysitter
And you know what? That works. It's like we have a babysitter. Anyways, that's only happened once, by the way. but yeah, it's nice to have everybody still doing things and engaged while you're waiting for the meal. And I was like, that's really cool. What is that? And they told me. And then when I looked it up, I was like, oh, so like everybody already knows about this but me. But anyways, there you go. It's called Heads Up, and it's pretty fun. So you
should play. Good way to pass the time at the Disneyland lines, too.
That's a good point.
That's how we found out about it.
Like,
there were a lot of people in Disneyland lines, like, playing it and stuff.
They were just all there playing it in Disney. Yeah. It's like a thing at Disneyland?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's good to know.
Well, Ellen.
Oh, there's the Venn diagram of Ellen and Disneyland is... Okay.
Yeah, you know, Ellen, she's family friendly. And
yeah, that's true. You know, that's true.
She suggests something, it's going to catch on.
Hey, what can I say? It's a well-built app. It's a well-thought-out app, and it's a lot of fun. So you should check it out. It's called Heads Up. If you haven't already, check it out. And with that, it's time for you to place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Bluetooth volume control or Heads Up? Go to twit.to/AAAvote340. That's twit.to/AAAvote340.
Heads Up or Bluetooth volume control.
Well, you know what? See?
Thank you, Victor, for the pity vote. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
I feel the Bluetooth struggle.
Exactly.
Where it,
I'm not going to buy a new car, so I just put all these dongles in my car and these adapters. So,
I think even though the two apps are totally different, like that could actually end up being a big strength for both of them, because some people are going to identify with the quick and easy game. Some people are going to really identify with the fact that you're solving a problem.
And that's Android.
That's Android.
So much choice.
In a nutshell. All right, twit.to/AAAvote340. Flo, this was a lot of fun.
This was fun.
I enjoy when we get the chance to do this. We've got some pretty great episodes coming up. Got some new people booked over the course of the next month. We've got a return of some pretty cool people. I'm just going to leave you in suspense. We've got projects in the works. We got stuff. So you're not going to want to miss it. But until then, Flo, you're busy. What are you doing?
What am I doing? Well, I'm writing. I'm doing a lot of writing. Just pay attention to me on Twitter right now at Oh That Flow. I will be posting more links to my work. There's my Twitter account. I'll be posting more links to my work. Today I had a video go up on YouTube about how to set up your Samsung SmartThings to make a Halloween scene.
Oh, interesting. On YouTube.
So,
on your YouTube account?
No, it's I did this video with David from Android Authority. And so basically what happens is he walks up to the house, the motion sensor catches him, and then plays like, blinks the lights behind the zombie and plays like a scary sound. Yes, and I did all of that with Tasker and with SmartThings and with a connected light bulb. So just kind of to show you how you can like have some fun in the burbs with all of these smart things.
Nice, but that'll come in super handy.
So I'm working on stuff like that behind the scenes. There'll be more stuff coming out over the next 2 months. So just kind of hang out for a while I get some ducks in a row behind
just
the scenes.
Hang out with your new
just
Pixel
hang out.
Device.
I'm working on some stuff. Right.
Be patient.
And I will be looking at the phones. I'm not sure yet where I'll be publishing my thoughts.
Yeah.
But
cool.
I'm working on that.
Well, even if you don't publish them, I'm sure you'll talk about them.
Oh, no, definitely. Here. I'm definitely going to come with a photo shootout of some sort. At least show.
Yeah.
I just need to go somewhere interesting.
Yeah. Business really. Expense.
Just not really
go to Hawaii. You have my permission.
Not
that you needed my permission. I think everybody has my permission to go to Hawaii. You can find me at jasonhowell.net, yellowgoldmusic.com. Big thanks to Victor for all that you do. Really appreciate it, man. Thank you for everything.
No problem.
And extra insight into Heads Up, because you might have given me the edge. Even though you voted for the other app, but I understand.
It was out of pity. Victor's you know, a nice you could, person.
They kind of go together because like when the kids are playing Heads Up in the back seat and switching music at the same time,
right.
Every time they switch, like the music volume goes down. And I think with that Bluetooth music control, the music volume doesn't have to go down no more.
Oh, okay.
So you children, made it work. Huh?
Somehow you made it work. All right. Well, thank you, Victor, for that. But that is it for this week. Thank you so much for watching and listening once again. If you want to get involved with the show, you can leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email or video mail to AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have an awesome subreddit. If you go to twitaaa.reddit.com, you can find stories that'll be linked to or in used in the show. Vote them up, vote them down, whatever you like. Every app from every episode that we cover is listed at twit.to/Android apps. You can go there and check out the full list and stats as well for the arena, twit.to/arena stats. Show notes and past episodes can be found to probably the most important URL for you to remember. That's twit.tv/AAA, and our episodes appear everywhere podcasts can be found, including YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Casts, all over the place. This photo always cracks me up because we all have very distinct and different facial expressions. One of us, well, yeah, I won't describe it, but if you go to our show page, you'll see what I mean. You can catch us live every Tuesday starting at around 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live.
So we're 5 p.m. now.
Yes, we are.
We are.
Well, yeah, I mean, we still...
5:15-ish is when
we're moving it back. We're getting there. We're doing really good at being on time. So I hope you'll join us. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.